Please fasten driver seat belt.
Dre, Big A, Chiqui por sí.
Yo, my peoples, what's up? It's your boys, we back. Silverback Chronicles podcast. It's your boy Big H. I got my brother Dre. The fuck, bro?
I was gonna do something random, but it just didn't work. Bro?
Hungry eyes, bro.
Hello.
Hello, guests.
Hello, people.
How we doing?
How you doing?
Listen, I'm well, bro.
I'm excited. What's up
with you? Excited?
I'm hyped.
It should be.
I'm hyped.
Bar.
We have a special guest tonight. I'm hyped.
Phenomenal guest tonight. I can't wait.
Oh, I don't do that.
But listen, we're going to bring Aaron Wright. Triple C.
Yo.
What's good, baby?
Maintaining and chilling, bro.
Maintaining and chilling. All right, folks, we back. This is episode 95, 95.
Ooh.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. You know?
That heat.
That heat, the fire, the fuego. We cooking. You know? But real quick, let's get into our sponsors. You already know Berman and Darby's, the law firm in the state of Maryland. Charlie Schultz is the go-to. He's the plug. Don't forget the phone number, 410-769-5400. If you heard at work or personally injured at home, give that man a call. 410-769-5400. Berman and Darby all day. Give a shout-out to who else?
Starbucks.
Starbucks USA. Don't forget the discount code, all caps, Silverback Podcast. All caps, Silverback Podcast. Get to 20% off your next purchase from your boys in blue. We appreciate you. Give a shout out to the world. We love you. Thank you for tuning in every week. We have nothing but phenomenal times for you guys. Because we're having fun. And guess what? We get to indulge and talk our shit every week.
Holla.
And it don't get no better. What else, Dre? Any other shout outs, bro?
Silverback Chronicles Doc Kizom.
Doc Kizom for your latest merch. Polo shirts, t-shirts, trucker hats,
yeah, you
camos.
See it.
You see it. You see blue in the front. Yeah, listen. We changing people's minds and we changing people's lives, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Talk that shit.
Word. But anywho, with no further ado, let's get into it. We got a special guest tonight, one of our sisters on the job. She is phenomenal what she does. She's a detective and a specialized unit. And she's going to show up and talk her shit. And that's Miss Chocolate herself.
Chocolate.
You know?
A little chocolate drop.
But with no further ado, our sister, Sims, is in the building. What's up, baby?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, y'all.
I'm saying.
Look at that smile. You're glowing. You glowing, bro.
Okay.
Fresh off the streets.
Word.
Fresh off the streets. Look
literally, stress out the streets.
Right. Came right out of work.
Like, what's up? I'm there.
What's up? I'm here.
She was like, you know what? I'm there.
I'm there. Say no more. Say less.
Yeah. We appreciate that.
We appreciate you.
I mean, finally, but go ahead.
What?
Yeah. Let's get it.
Listen, you always on the agenda, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What?
Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here, too.
Nah, it's a pleasure. So tell the world, where you from, born and raised?
As y'all can see on my, can you see my hat?
Oh, she said East Baltimore. Oh, Baltimore.
East Baltimore in the building.
Baltimore.
Okay.
Baltimore.
That's
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
One more time.
I ain't gonna lie, y'all. I'm proper, so I do say Baltimore, but I'm gonna indulge a little bit.
Good.
Indulge.
East Baltimore. You hear me?
Okay.
All right.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Is that like Southeast?
Don't play with me. Don't you ever disrespect me like that.
Is that
what's wrong with the Southeast?
It wasn't right about the Southeast.
Is it the Northeast back when it was the country club?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
I'm
not.
From the hood.
Ooh, what part?
I'm from Dickey Land, Bonnie Eager, Church Square.
Oh, Bonnie Eager. Ooh.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So she East Side.
I'm not no Bel Air, man.
Ooh. She in the middle.
McEldery and Potomac. I ain't none of them. No.
Okay.
I'm East.
Right down the street from the dog.
Yes, exactly.
You're talking 4x4 area.
I used to go to Madison Square. I used to play over at the dome. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was life growing up in the city?
It was a little better then than it is now, I could say. Mm-hmm. It was fun, though. You know, we had fun. We actually was outside and not killing people, so.
How about that? Word.
You know?
Everything was structured back then.
Yeah, it was a little structure, you know.
That's good.
I used to be able to walk up and down the street and not
worry about nothing, right?
Yeah. Now, it's just, I wouldn't even dare.
Wow. What high school you went to?
The best high school in the city. I feel like, I think I want y'all to guess. If I said the best high school in the city, and I want y'all to please get this right, you only got 2 tries.
Huh?
Can I get a hint? Is it co-ed or all girls?
It is co-ed. It's literally the best high school in the city.
The best high school?
Yes. That's,
that has to be Poly, right?
Right.
Oh! Did you disrespect me like that? Absolutely not.
I'm sorry.
Forgive me. I'm not from this town.
I would have rather you said Merbo, Dunbar, something.
Damn.
So I went to the Castle on a Hill, City College.
You know, City and Mervo always had a little thing.
Then they still do. Uh-huh. It's sad.
It is sad.
But it's fine. It was always fine.
The city's dope, though. The
greatest high school ever invented.
Where'd you go?
The greatest high school ever invented.
Where?
Baltimore Polytechnic Institute.
Oh, wow. That's right. Wow. They always talk about Poly. Every guest we they Poly, Poly, Yikes. Poly.
Yikes. No, that's sad. I'm sorry for you.
So, City
Football
on the Hill.
What you say?
I'm sorry for you.
What you said, the city?
Y'all been losing the last couple of years.
Ooh.
Yeah, we have. We're going to get there.
She said that part.
She said City on the Hill. It was dope to go eat lunch and shit over there.
Yeah.
You know, to take a little break. It's cool up there. A lot of shade.
Yeah, it's nice up there.
It is nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Sector 1. It's like 2 blocks away from the chum.
Yeah, it is. Most definitely.
Word. Now, that's dope. So, was you in sports when you was in school? Like, what was your thing? What was you into when you...
Fashion.
Word.
I ran track for a year.
Word?
Yes.
Okay.
I ain't that fast no more.
That's all good. What you used to run? 100, 200? 4x1? 4x2? You know, you obviously know I know my shit.
Yeah, you okay. 4x2.
Okay.
I
don't want you to skip over. You know, I need to.
I said it.
I want to know what was your time in the 4x2. What was your split?
Listen, right? I don't know how this was a thing, but Digital Harbor had the fastest girls, and I'm not gonna lie. I ain't even gonna lie. Them girls was fast.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I can't remember them girls every time.
You still ain't answer my question.
What was the numbers on the
phone? Well, where was the split, though? Mm-hmm. You forgot?
I'm skipping over it.
Okay. Well, listen, I understand.
Right, listen.
I understand. I'm glad you ran, though. You know why? Because it's...
I'm not going to say. I was never slow.
So what was your time?
Honestly, I really don't remember. That was 10 years ago. Can you remember your time?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Can you make it up?
No, I'm not going to make it up. I'm not going to lie to these people.
I'm joking.
But you want to know why? Because
I'm not going to lie to them. I'm going to tell you. I know. Yeah, no. It was 10 years ago. I can't remember that.
My shit was over 20 years ago. That's how embedded we was in our craft.
But that's the thing, though. Y'all were. I can say, guys in general, y'all are really, like,
into
with
it.
Football. Yeah, like,
because
I've been thinking about, like, with football, like, my little brother played football, and I'm pretty sure he can remember his Pop Warner numbers. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's just how... He just was really into it. I'm not saying I wasn't into it, but it was something for me to do. It was fun.
No, but that's good though.
It kept
that's
you out of trouble and shit.
It kept you in shape.
Yeah.
You learned a proper skill set on running.
Mm-hmm.
Working on your form. So that's good.
And I got a track booty. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
shit.
Yeah. Oh, that was too early? All right, my bad.
Nah. Listen, it's never too early.
Ain't nobody gonna deny that.
Word.
Talking shit.
I used to love watching the lollipops. You know what I'm saying?
And I danced for 2 years.
What type of dance?
African hip hop, We did ballet, but it wasn't really like a whole like ballet, you know.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's dope. You were busy.
Yeah.
That's
what's up. Now my daughter's in dance, so that's lit.
Shout out to the dope. How old is she?
She's about to be 8 in October.
Holla.
Oh, awesome.
God bless her little heart.
That's yeah, she's awesome. 8 turning 18.
We wish you all the success.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Listen to your mother.
All day. But I would, you know what? I wouldn't say that it's not just a male dominated thing. I think it's the mindset of the individual. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing wrong to, you know, to do it for something to do to stay in shape, learn something new. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And it, like I said, it really was fun.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. You have fun, kept you out of trouble.
You know, kids be
kept you athletic.
Now,
and I didn't lose. I just can't remember my numbers. I'm going to tell y'all that. I'm going to call some people and I'm gonna let y'all know. I'm gonna call it a high school. That's what I'm gonna do.
Right. Pull up your records and shit.
Can't you do that?
Did you make
if
it
you to, ran states?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, yeah. Can't you do that?
Did you make it to the states?
Yeah. Don't come on now. All right, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And I'm gonna let y'all know. I'm gonna let you know.
Triple C could probably find it for you.
Triple C find it.
Yeah,
he would have liked it.
I found it for you. Let me know you find it. Pull him up.
That's a beautiful thing though. So your daughter's 8, that's awesome. And she's in ballet and or just dancing.
Ballet
choreography.
She does it all. She didn't want to do African this year because she wanted to do like the majorette, like you know the law, all that. She real dramatic, so she wanted to do all that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So she does ballet, hip hop, modern, and majorette.
Okay. What do you like to listen to in your leisure? Are you into rap or
R&B? But I am a 90s R&B kind of person. Like, I am R&B.
See,
R&B.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to rap. I'm not going to lie. You know, Jeezy is my favorite, but I
all day.
Like,
Jeezy?
Yes.
Jeezy.
Fire.
Yeah, I'm going to say, hold
old,
on.
Old Jeezy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, okay. I did with that with his new stuff, but old Jeezy. But yeah. Yeah. 90s R&B, that's what I'm listening to.
So when you're listening to it, who's your favorite artist or group or song?
What gets you going?
Right.
Different vibes. So let me see. All right. So I think my all-time karaoke song.
Yeah.
Okay. It's definitely Mary J. Blige and Lil' Kim, I Can't Love You. I don't know why.
Okay.
That just gave me like a little vibe.
Yeah, right. Mary always gave you that vibe.
Yeah, yeah, Mary always
was always one of these.
You saw Mary's last picture recently?
Yes.
With the bikini on, sir?
With the big hair.
Yeah, with the hair.
Yes.
And that
is. I said about time, Mary, because we've been trying to look at that thing for a minute.
Yeah, she
hides it.
Yeah. Mary not playing. Yo, I think she almost 50. She look amazing.
I went to see her live. I said, damn. Well,
yeah.
Recently with her and Nas?
Nah, it was here at the arena. And who's the guy?
Nas.
Nah, it was an R&B dude. It was an R&B. It was like 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Damn.
3 years ago.
So, was it?
Who?
Eric Benet
was it? It was another R&B dude like that, though.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. That's where you lose me in the R&B stuff. I get lost in that world. I know Mary, but when it comes to dudes, I don't know. I'm sorry. I usually, you know, refer to him if I need some songs.
Yeah, because I go in.
Yeah.
Let me see.
What do you listen to before you go to work?
What gets you going?
What gets you going?
What's like your go-to?
Get you pumped for that shift.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Ooh, okay.
This is crazy.
I can see that.
And about that.
I definitely listen to Megan.
That's a big woman. That's a Clydesdale right there.
I be needing some bopping.
Okay.
And get ready.
And then I go and be like, oh, Captain Hook action.
Yeah, Mary's down with music.
Huh?
Mary's music Soul Child?
Music Soul Child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he let it was out.
Music Soul Child was phenomenal back in the day.
Still. Yeah.
It was.
I still listen.
You sure it wasn't music?
Huh?
It wasn't Music Soul Child. I don't remember that.
Oh, really?
So who was it?
It was a dude.
Was it a young dude, an old dude?
I know his name. He had like leather pants on too.
Damn, I can't get you all that.
But
ain't looking at nigga pants.
No. Yeah, leather pants. I want to say
we talk about right.
It wasn't Lenny Kravitz.
So how the fuck you remember? I'm not even gonna go there.
I remember that.
I'm not even
gonna
go there.
He don't even know who's light skinned, dark skinned.
You talk about Maxwell.
I think it was Maxwell.
Okay, it was Maxwell.
Okay. Right.
It was Maxwell.
So he had his shirt off, and all you could look at was his pants.
Oh!
He had his shirt off.
I was just thinking, like, why the fuck he got leather pants on? How you squeeze into it? That's why I was like,
what the
fuck? This is going to another direction.
What the
We shouldn't be going here right now.
Trying to help out.
No, I'm just saying.
Damn.
I'm here for you, bro.
Right.
I'm here for you.
Ooh.
That nigga say he light skinned with leather pants.
No, he said, I'm trying to figure out how he squeezed all of it.
That was wrong. Oh, I got it now. No, not like that.
How did he squeeze it?
How he squeezed all of it now. In those jeans.
Right. What is going on right now? Jesus. Well,
this is what happens when you talk to cops. They take everything the wrong way.
God.
Jesus Christ.
That nigga said, yeah. He had a shirt on, but he sure has some leather pants on. Yeah.
Because I know Maxwell ain't have a shirt on.
Right.
I know he did.
Damn sure put all that in the leather pants.
Yes. Ooh.
Yo, for real?
I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, Dre.
That's not the way I meant it.
Fucking Dre. Oh, I love you, bro.
Thing. I mean,
God.
You just gotta take it that one. You gotta take that L.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
You gotta take it.
Yeah, I know that's not the way I'm
doing. You gotta own that one, bro. Damn. What do we go to now?
Oh, man. I think we should wrap up.
Well, that was a good episode, guys.
All right. Come back next week. But we won't be speaking about leather pants.
Wow. The package.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I brought it back up.
I never said that.
All right.
So back to Meg Thee Stallion.
How about that?
I love me some Meg.
Yes.
Hey, Meg, how are you?
So how much time you got on now?
Actually, I just came on 6 years complete.
Good for you.
Yeah, August 26th, 6 years complete.
So you just finished your five rookie years. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
It really flew though. Like time really flew by. Like
you was having fun.
Yeah, I feel like 6 years like is such a short time, but then it's like it's a long time at the same time. Like
yeah.
So
shit time. But before we thought about it, we in what, almost in our 11th now. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, we're in our 11th.
Time go by.
It really does.
It really does.
Yeah, we got time completed.
Wow. So why Baltimore City? Why did you want to join the lovely
the hometown, the lovely
blue lifestyle of being
why you didn't go to the county
of being a protector?
Why would I go to the county?
I'm just saying most people go to the county.
Why was I born in the county?
Ooh.
I'm just asking. Spicy.
But see, I love it though because we lifers.
She's a city cop.
Yeah, like you know,
she's honestly city cop.
Yeah.
Through and through.
Yeah, honestly, I chose the city. So I went to Cabin State University. I graduated in 2015, and then I came straight here.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What you graduate with?
Bachelor's in Criminal Justice, minor in Psychology.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So I always wanted to be in law enforcement. At first, I wanted to be a lawyer. And I thought about it like, dang, like more school, like that's gonna be wild. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always thinking about like, I kind of want to do like, you know, police work. And I'm like, what better place to do police work than where you from? I mean, I know you're not from here, but you know, it's this place. Baltimore is really, how do I say it?
Just say it.
It's really a good place. Like mm-hmm. you know, it's really still charm left in Charm mm-hmm. City. Like it really mm-hmm. and truly is. So I just feel like you know to do that and be a part of the change in the community. You know, we're gonna do so many changes where we at. So I just feel like you know I wanted to be there. I wanted to be part of it. And I wanted to serve the community that I'm from. I wanted to be a different person than what I saw growing up. Cause like I told y'all where I grew up at. So y'all know who was around there during that time. You get what I'm saying? Like
Absolutely.
The right. dynamic that policing was at that time or whatever. So it's like I wanted to be a different look mm-hmm. at things. And I mean I can see myself like sometimes I don't realize it, but then I also like I look at my daughter and like other little girls and like they're like, oh my goodness, like look at your pink cuffs and oh my goodness, look at all this stuff. Oh my goodness, like
doesn't it feel good?
It feels great. Like
they be feeling the profession through
yes,
you.
it feels great. Like, even like, just my daughter alone. Like, right. My daughter sometimes just look at me. She's like, "Mom, you're the best police officer ever." And like,
amazing.
You know, it's just like, oh my God. Like, I cry a lot. I'm sorry.
You're a role model.
I am.
It hit different when, it does. When you do this line of work with this particular department.
Yeah.
Because we do so much.
So much. And it's like, beyond what a lot of people realize.
Facts.
And it's just like, you know, even me, with me being in a specialized unit, I still like, you know, I work overtime and patrol, and you know, like, I still like feet to the ground. Right. I really still am. And like, when people see me, they're just like, it's just, I don't know. It's just mutual respect. It's always love. You know, of course I get that first, somebody got to say something smart, and then I got to put them in their place real fast. They're like, oh shit, she from Baltimore.
She not playing.
They right. know, like, they know. They be like, oh, she from Baltimore. Yes. Like, don't play with me. I'm not one of them. I'm really not. So, and then we get to, you know, talking and all the other stuff, and it's always love. So I definitely, that's all I wanted.
You mentioned the pink cuffs. That's a conversation starter. Like, they see you and they're like, oh, the pink cuffs. And then it's just to break the ice.
Yeah.
People come up to you.
Yeah. And everybody says it. Kids, grown men, you know, they be like, oh, hey, you know, you put them pink cuffs on grown men, on men. Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody get them.
It just happened to be pink.
They just happen to be pink. Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, I got a lot of pink things on my uniform. And I always be like, wow, all that pink stuff, it works the same way as black ones do, right?
Right.
Like, it works the same way. Like,
what does pink symbolize for you?
Me.
That's your favorite color?
Favorite color, yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Is it?
Let me ask you something. Perfect. What's the funniest, like, what's the funniest, like, pickup line you heard on the street? With them pink cuffs.
It's so many. Let me see. I think the one I hear the most is, can we use them in the bedroom?
They say like, that?
Yes. I'm like,
wow. Just out in the open like that.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, so you don't think that people just say crazy stuff to female officers?
I'm sure they, I know they
when
do.
I
think
say,
I'm sheltered.
Yeah, you might be sheltered because that's that. Yeah, that's that.
That's the most corniest line I ever heard.
The corniest.
And yeah, that's it's nothing original about that.
But it's everything.
But what I'm saying, let me hear an original one.
Let me see.
One that was like, oh, okay, I'll give you credit for that.
I don't think I can give anybody credit for it because I just look at them like they're crazy.
That's not attractive. That's not sexy.
It's not. It's really not.
No.
I feel like, I mean,
honestly. It's not a good conversation
right.
story.
Anybody who wants to talk, who try to holler at me in uniform, I feel like it's a no-go. I always look at you like you're crazy. Like, you gotta really, really, really stand out for me to be like,
Has there been a line that made you really laugh? Nothing.
Mm. So you put me in a spot. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I probably do have one, but I can't remember.
You heard too many corny lines.
I heard so many. Maybe it'll come to me later, but.
That's not important. First and foremost, what type of policing did you see growing up that made you want to become police? And keep it 100 because that's all we do.
Because
right now you're not talking as Detective Sims. You're talking as the person Sims, the individual Sims. So let it out.
All right. Honestly, I didn't see too much of good policing.
Well, that's what our listeners want to know.
Yeah,
because your police, you saw it growing up. So you said, you know what? This is some bullshit. I can't stand for that.
Yeah.
So you wanted to be part of the change.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So tell me, what did you see?
All right, so I can give you a couple of incidents. So
perfect.
When I was like 17, my boyfriend, he was 2 years older than me. He had a car. He had I forgot what year it was, but he had whatever year it was. He was a 2 year old car. He had a Nissan Altima. He had a good job. He worked at McCormick, the spice company, mm-hmm. or whatever. So he was driving, and like I said, where we from, we were over east. He got pulled over.
Was you with him?
Yeah, I was with him. He got pulled over, and of course, I'm not going to say nobody's names, but, you know, officer came up, and he's talking to him, and he's like, looking, mind you, he's like, I say he's 19. He's like, this your car? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, no, like, your car and your name. He's like, yeah. Came back, and he was like, where you work at? And he's like, told him, like, you know, he's like, give me Carmen. He's like, okay. He was like, put your seatbelt on. I just didn't think this was your car. You look too young to have a nice car like this. It's just like, what? You know, like, and honestly, like, on the flip side of it, I'm thinking, I know you smell all these damn spices in this damn car. You know he got a good job. Like, what you mean? He can afford this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's that's literally that's one of them. Like, who's to say that somebody can't have a nice car? Even if his parents would have brought it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is in his name and everything like that. It's just like, who are you to tell somebody that they didn't like that you have a nice car like this?
So you saw racism way before.
Absolutely, you got on the job. Absolutely. I remember one time I was coming from the store on Broadway in Eager, and the officer was doing what they do, stopping somebody, you know, and I happened to look over and the officer looking at me, and I was like, "What you looking at?" And he was like, "What you looking at?" And I'm like, so I look, he was like, "Isn't your mother Kim around the corner?" And I'm like, so? And he like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go talk to her." And I'm like, okay.
Talk to her about what?
Exactly. About what? Like, what did I do?
Exactly.
What did I do?
Just rude. All
right. What did I do? So I'm like, all right, okay.
But that's the problem with our profession, is that like those two instances. Sorry. It is.
Yeah. Ain't used to that.
Yeah. The heavy Dominican tongue. Hey, yo.
Jesus Christ. Here we go.
No, but what I wanted to say was.
Triple C.
I got it.
Good. Pause. Thank you.
Because boy, I wasn't even going to say it this time.
How about that?
I ain't want to bring it up this time.
You
ain't
want to bring it up?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I want them slide.
No, but seriously, that's them acting outside of uniform. That's them being
and
personal.
And
we don't need your personal interjections into this.
Shut the fuck up and do your job accordingly.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
And honestly,
because nobody told him that.
Facts.
Nobody.
Nobody told. That's you acting out as an individual.
That's the policing that he inherited, and mm-hmm. It was cool to do shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep a buck.
And it was the wrong policing.
Absolutely.
It was wrong policing. And I still see a little bit of that today. And I don't want to say I get into my show, but like I get into it with so many people on the street because I correct people right then and there. Like, you're not going to do any crazy thing in front of, like, I've seen someone act that way in front of me. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. Nah. Like, you know, and I'll jump in and I'll correct them because at the end of the day, like we're all human. 100%. You know what I'm saying? And especially if somebody's not being hostile and rude and all that towards you. Come on now. Like, we got to still be respectful. Until, you know, until they get out of pocket. And I know, because, listen, I got an attitude problem myself. So I do get out of pocket sometimes, but I don't get out of pocket until somebody get out of pocket on me. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Even still, I be having to pull myself back like, all right now. Like, because people, the best saying I heard was, when you got two people arguing, people outside looking in don't know who the fool is.
Mm. And I mean, you see two people acting like fools.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if this the fool, when I'm trying to tell him how much foolish he looking, they looking like, look at them two dummies over there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I be having to pull myself back sometimes. And, but.
I like that quote.
Yeah. All right. Hey, copy me.
It was worded differently.
Yeah, right. Like, it was
but that's the gist of it.
That's the bottom of it.
I know exactly what
I said.
I'm with you.
I'm telling you. But we got it.
So what's the original quote?
It gets something along lines.
So he don't even know. No, I don't even want to hear. He don't even know.
But I had to finish the shit for you because you wasn't going to get it.
I was.
Right.
Maybe it's a do say here to me too. I don't know.
Mm.
But then I'll be wrong if I say something, right? See?
What you want? No, you was out of line. Twice.
Yeah, he was speeding.
90.
He was fishtailing and everything on the highway. Straightened it up.
See, you put yourself back in the high seat. Yes.
And the correct quote is, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference. Mark
Twain. Never argue with a fool because from a distance, it looks like two fools arguing.
No, okay. Mark Twain said it.
That's what he said.
Yeah, but.
No, that's
the slang is different. That was back then. So I had to make it more modern.
Oh, my goodness.
I made it modern.
So hold on. Who said it?
It's a Dominican
who
version.
Who said it more closer to Mark Twain?
I'm feeling Baltimore. We got right.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I finished it for you there, too.
Matt, Nat.
Right.
All right.
If we make an East Baltimore silverback hat, would you wear it?
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay.
I could buy. I need to buy a trucker because I like that.
Okay.
So.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
No, so that's great because that it's crazy how you saw that type of policing first and foremost at the age of 17. Mm-hmm. And you, as an individual, know that's not how a police officer is supposed to conduct themselves.
Absolutely.
Being a professional. So that's why I'm glad you came on the job, right? Because you're making a change just like we're making a change. Mm-hmm. Me and him can't, us three can't do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's why this platform was established for you 100%. And every other officer detective to come on, because the people need to hear what's real.
Mm-hmm.
We tired of the fake narrative out there about police.
And it really is such a fake narrative, because like so many of us do so much good. It never gets seen. No one's ever boasting about it. No one's ever, you know, trying to push out the real. Right. But yeah, it happens, everybody. It happens.
That's good. So how long are you on patrol for?
2 years.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah. You a superstar.
Okay.
Wow.
Damn.
Ah. What was your first
decision? Yeah.
First round draft pick, girl.
Right.
I mean, hey, look at me. Stop playing.
Ooh.
And not only that, look at my, you know, look at my work.
Your resume. Stats.
Yeah, look at my stats. Like,
okay. Stats. Now, yeah. Where was you assigned to originally?
I field trained in the Southwest, and the Wild West was my home.
That was your home.
Western District.
Nice. How'd you like patrol?
I love patrol. I still do overtime patrol now.
That's good.
I don't mind it at all.
That's what's
I ain't saying I'm rushing to go back, but you know.
All right.
I don't mind it.
Gonna get some money in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's up. So what was your niche on patrol? What did you like to do?
I liked to do drug work.
How was drug work for you as a female? And sometimes it's a male dominating squad when it comes to drug work.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you first got to that drug life?
And I just felt like people were like, they didn't expect me to want to do that. Or they didn't expect me, you know what I'm saying? They didn't expect me to be out there grabbing people up. Not grabbing people up. Hold up now. Hold up. They didn't expect me to be out there, you know, like, pulling people up and, like, you know, stopping them, all that stuff, and, like, getting arrested and all this other stuff. So it was kind of a surprise to people when I was, like, out there, like, even, like, the drug dealers or whatever, like, you better do what? And I'm like, all right, yeah, let me see what's in your pocket. You know, like, the right way, all that stuff. And
was it nervous, though, like, initially?
Yeah, absolutely, because, like, me stepping out there, even, like, I don't initially have a backup, so, like, me just looking at stuff and, like, seeing, like, all right, boom, that's a hand-in-hand. All right, boom, I see that. All right, okay, he got that pack in his dip. All right, cool. And it's like, all right, let me call some people. But it's like, I sometimes do dumb stuff, and I'll go and approach them myself. And I am very nervous. I think being nervous is a part of the job. I feel like if I don't have a little bit of fear in my heart, then I'm not doing it right.
But you know what? That's how you create your police skill set.
Yeah.
On your approach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get better each time.
Every time.
Definitely. That's dope. So from there, you got to the specialized unit. That's great.
Yes.
Your grind got you there.
Yes.
And you've been with the unit for, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what's up. Mm. You love it there?
Mm-hmm.
You see yourself being there for a while?
Do
you want to do anything else?
Yeah, I do. You know, I kind of want to do other detective work, and I want to maybe you know, be a sergeant. So
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when do you think you want to take the test?
We'll see.
Couple years?
We'll see.
But do you feel you're a great leader. Do you feel like it's time for you to embark on being a supervisor within this agency?
Like, I feel like.
How
I
can you make change?
I didn't cut me off.
I didn't mean to. I just, it felt good. So I kept it going. And shit.
Yeah, like.
Don't become the sergeant.
I'm sorry.
Damn.
Yes, ma'am.
Put you in blue team. So listen.
don't do me like that.
Already she started with the blue
team. Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like I will be a great sergeant, because, you know, a lot of supervisors, let me say this. Okay. I've had the pleasure of having great supervision my whole 6 years. And I mean, from my sergeant and my lieutenant now, to even when I was in patrol, you know, I had great sergeants who pushed me to do better, you know, who was able to teach me things. You know, if I asked them any questions, they, you know, they assisted and everything. I mean, I feel bad for anybody who had bad sergeants or whatever, but I didn't have one as of yet. I have not had one. So
that's dope.
They are definitely my inspiration, and so I do feel like I would be a great sergeant. I'm ready to lead. I have the skill sets.
So what do you think what do you think what makes a great leader? How are you going to get people to follow you? How are you going to treat your subordinates?
I feel like being a great leader, I feel like I want to go to another quote, but I ain't going to do it.
No, you can't.
I feel like if I go to another quote, you're going to correct me and triple C.
I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to critique you.
No, I feel like being a good leader is like being with the people. Like, I can't just tell you what to. I can't
just. Best day of the year. Draft day.
Are we good?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to. A good leader doesn't just tell you what to do. You know, like, I have to show you, you know what I'm saying? I have to walk, if need be, I have to walk you through it. I have to be there with you. I can't just tell you what to do and then leave you and go about my business. Because how are you going to learn? How do I know that you really know how to do that stuff?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? You got to be on the ground with your people. You got to not just leave from the, you know, what is that? Leave from the back. I ain't going to go there because I kind of forgot it.
That's okay.
You're not going to leave from the back.
You don't want to leave from the back, then leave from the front.
Right. Yeah, okay. Front. All right. There you go. Man.
We got you.
All right. Yeah, you ain't got me because you ain't know.
I was going to let you walk through it. Because during your oral pause for the sergeant exam, you got to walk through these events.
You definitely do.
You only got a certain amount of time to act like you know what you're doing. Mm. And once you start stuttering and fumble over your words,
they be like,
just be like, listen, about face, I appreciate the time.
Like, this was fun.
Right, but I'm going to go about my business.
Well, head on out here.
I'll try the next incident.
Yeah. Yikes.
But now that's dope. That's dope. I'm glad. And, you know, we consider ourselves lifers, of course, because, you know, a lot of people leave the department for their own individual personal reasons. And it just comes with the territory like any job.
Mm-hmm.
But I love everything the city's got to offer. I do. Good or bad, indifferent, I love it. I love to see the change of when you converse with your fellow coworkers. And mm-hmm. then what does it for me is when you go into the street and you get that love because you know how to be that professional and treat people the way they're supposed to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a hell of a difference.
100%.
And nothing else matters. Besides that money.
That money matters.
That money better.
Word.
It matters. And that's not like, I mean, if I was to think about leaving, I think that's the biggest factor as to why I'm not leaving. Like, look at this money I'm making.
Yeah.
Even if I get upset or whatever, you know, that those feelings are temporary, you know, with the department because it's gonna come and go, you know. You're gonna get upset about a lot of things that's going on, whatever. Yeah. But I think when I look and I'm like, I'm making how much?
That's dope.
I mean, it's things you can't change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yo, and that's with any career.
And that's the thing about, like, we as police, we don't like change. Don't like change. Right. They don't want somebody telling them, like, no, you got to do this now. Right. You got to do this now.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, even, like a couple of the trainings that we get, like, stuff that we feel like we already been doing, but it's like, okay, let's structure it. Let's do this now. And you're like, what?
Right.
But it's like, duh, ding, ding, we already been doing that. And they're like, yeah, but they telling us to do this now. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Right. Because you go anywhere else, you're going to have to deal with their problems, their issues.
Yep.
And you can't do shit about it. Either you deal with it or just go find something else to do.
And honestly, like, people who have left and went other places, they'll say, this has been a more lenient department.
Oh, yeah. Other departments, they write your ass up.
Yeah, for a lot of things.
Your boots ain't shine.
Yep.
We're writing you up.
Yep.
Mm.
And you know what? That's probably the biggest thing. My biggest pet peeve is when people boots is just raggedy and ran over. Not that you said it. That's kind of like a little side note, but.
No, that's for real, though. I mean, if you're doing this, be a professional.
Yeah, because
have
I feel
a clean
like
uniform.
I feel like we make too much money. Even the ones who just make the regular salary, we make too much money for El Boosten to be looking like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was one of the things that one of the individuals was talking about that was here. Trooper Ray. He was like, when they pull up, everybody knows because they all look the same. Their hats the same. Their stuff is pressed up. It's creased. And he was like, you'd be surprised as soon as you pull up. They like, I don't want to deal with them because they already know.
It looked like a shit sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like, oh shit. They know what they're doing.
Right.
Us, we pull up, we like picking soup sandwiches.
It's horrible.
Some people got their shirts hanging out the back of their belts and belts under the belly. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. And then boots leaned over, rusty and ripped up. I'm like, I can't take it.
Just disgusting.
Just disgusting. Me, like, people think I'm crazy. I change boots probably like every year. Like, I mean,
no, I have to.
Yeah, I only wear Under Armour, but I change boots like almost every year. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Yeah, back when we's getting it.
Yeah,
the ACGs, Under Armour, Tag boots.
Yeah, like I can't.
The joints that's light on your feet.
Right now, I have a winter boot and a summer boot.
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I have a winter boot and a summer boot, and I will switch them up.
Yeah.
Cause I just feel like I'm. You're not about to catch me slipping on my boots. Like, if my boots get too dusty or dirty, they go in the trash. Like, I mean, if I can't wash myself, they go in the trash. I don't like it looking like that.
And you should take pride in that.
Yes.
And right. Your presentation. Because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Yeah.
People going to look at you out the car, look at you like.
And it's true what they said. When you have a sharp uniform, that deters a lot of.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. They're like, yo.
Because they know you about your business. Yep, you about your business.
Absolutely.
Because I done heard a lot of people like say, like, he come out here, you know, looking like that. Like, his uniform look all raggedy, like. Got crumbs all on his shirt. I'm like, you're right. Damn. You know, I haven't seen it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, can't really say nothing about it.
So I
like,
can't even help you out, bro.
Because you're right.
You look like chicken shit. Mm-mm. But it's a beautiful day.
So one of the things that we was talking about off camera was sometimes y'all have like different car stops and stuff, and some of the things that y'all have to deal with. Can y'all explain that to our listeners? Like, sometimes people don't understand that, you know, y'all have to switch from not only like, you know, like, we say like something minor, which is like, hey, stop doing ABC and XYZ, which may be very minor. I mean, your threat level still is, you know, at a 5 because you don't know if you have to go to a 10 or not. But a car stop can turn into, you know, dealing with fentanyl or dealing with some of those things. Can you explain what a procedure is if you have to pull somebody over, if it has to be?
I knew you was going to look right at me.
I got you.
I guess that's my expertise. Well, first of all, car stops is one of the most dangerous things that we can do as police officers because we are really going into the unknown. We do not know what's going on. You know, we pulling somebody over because they got a brake light out. And whole time, you know, they run on a murder warrant that we didn't know anything about. Got a gun in the car ready to blast off. Just don't know anything. So, it's very dangerous. I know, just for example, one of my partners wanted to go pull up a car because they had an expired tag. Literally, this is a couple months ago, probably in like May or June.
Mm-hmm.
Expired tag on the car. Of course, they, you know, they fled, so we had Foxtrot above, of course, they doing all this other stuff. And the passenger wound up fleeing, they caught the driver. Come to find out, this particular car was just stolen that morning, and they killed the guy who they stole it from.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think it was in the southeast. I think it was the southeast or maybe southeast or southern. They killed the guy that they stole the car from. That's they wanna running him over.
Wow.
So, but this is because it was happening so fast, it was unbeknownst to my partner because, you know, they didn't have an NCIC yet. Because they wasn't able to get the tag number. They wasn't able to get a description of the suspect or anything. So like
he's just thinking this a regular car stop.
Really unknown.
Yeah, and then they fleeing. They're like, that's why they was like, why are they fleeing? Like
just for a brake light.
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, okay, nothing was in the car. They searched it time and time again, nothing was in the car. And then, boom, turned around. That was the car. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the detective wound up running the tag and realizing that the key, dispatcher ran the tag just prior. He's like, well, what was that about? And then they looked it up, and they was like, oh. And then called him, was like, good job. Like, you know, this really helps our shit out and everything. So, you know, you just never know. Like, you're going into very much the unknown. And then when it comes to fentanyl, like we was kind of saying earlier, you know, you just never know. Like, because white powdery substance can be anything. It can be baby formula.
Right.
It can be baby powder. It can be what you said, paint, little paint.
Sheet
rock. Yeah, sheetrock. You know, it can be anything. And that's why a lot of us still carry out Narcan. Like I said, I keep mine packed up in my little IFAT kit. You know, I got at least two of them in there. If any of us was to fall out, pass out, boom, you can just go ahead and do it. But
it's crazy times.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, because you're out there making sure your fellow partners, you know, make it home.
Yeah.
Because when that stuff hits the system, it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Right. That shit is so potent, it can take you out.
Yeah, you got minutes to react.
We had a guy in the Northwest. He like threw it on us. It wasn't fentanyl. It was regular dope. He kind of threw it on us.
What?
Wow. Yeah, he was we wrestling.
So what happened?
He kind of boom. Like, we like, what the? One of my partners, he got it bad. He kind of inhaled it a little bit. But like, it was all over us. Like, it was crazy. People is wild.
Any other close encounters?
Nah, let me say that was the only one.
That's good though.
Yeah.
Cause it could, you know, I'm glad you're doing this type of work, especially enforcement, and you know, coming unscathed, which is great. And that's what we want. that's the ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to work, make these car stops, do what you do, and you're hands on mm-hmm. with the unit right. that you got that mm-hmm. you're at. So nah, that's dope. That's really awesome.
Do you feel like the fact that like you grew up in Baltimore helps you with police work?
Absolutely. Here. Yeah. I'm more I feel like people relate to me more.
Mm.
You know, and because they feel like, oh, damn, she from here. You know, I can talk to her. I can understand that slang and the way they talk and like things that they're talking about. I can, you know, I can understand them on a different level. So it definitely helps me out. And like, I can also see through bullshit because, you know, both right. of us are bullshitters. So when they try, I'll be like, all right, now I'll be like, look, all right. I don't got time for all that.
Right.
Like, I don't know how many times I tell people, like, listen, like, when people get a fake name, listen, I don't got time to stand out here all day playing with you in this name game. Like, let me know what your name is. Or else you're going to go to jail for 3 days.
John Doe.
Yeah, it's John Doe. They're going to wait till they figure it out. And it's COVID down there. You really don't go down there like now?
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm definitely. Real quick after yeah, that. I'm definitely. It does help me being from here. I'm that's more right. relatable.
That's right. And you know, that's what the world needs. More police like us and everybody else that does the same job that we do.
Pride.
And what we
you know,
do.
Yeah, like, seriously. You know, who actually, like, it's so many disgruntled people here. And I tell them, leave. I mean, like, if you're that disgruntled, please leave. Because, like, we don't, we have, it's no room for people like
no,
that.
No, just go.
It's none. Because, like, it when you're that disgruntled and you were like, oh, I hate this, I hate that, I hate the job, I hate the people, I hate the city, I hate the citizens. Oh, look, you got to go. I tell people, you got to go.
Right.
Because we don't have no room for you here.
Absolutely not. Because you're going to become a liability.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be that statistic that everybody talks about. Yeah. That everybody downs the badge, everybody downs the department. And then once again, phenomenal officers like us got to go out there and be like, no, this is what we do.
Right.
He made an individual choice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you just get tired of that. So if you don't want to do this job, bro, go do something else.
Yeah, there's many other things you can do.
Absolutely. We don't get offended by that. We're putting a great product out in the streets, what the streets deserve, what the people deserve, the civilians deserve.
Yep.
So
then we got to undo what that person did.
Yeah. No.
That's what it is. We have to undo it.
And it's like, who wants to do all that? That's too much.
So 5 years from now, what do you see yourself?
Wow. Oh my god. That was a lot. Yeah, that was, I'm saying ew, like, you know, all my Cardi B stuff. I don't know what they was doing. Like some Black Panthers. I don't know.
That shows the alley cat.
Yeah, Word. It was something. Oh god.
Get my line on.
Oh my god. 5 years from now, I definitely and like within the department, I definitely see myself as a sergeant, as a supervisor.
Nice.
You should.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking things to existence.
Absolutely. There you go. Get that.
Manifestation.
Go. Manifestation right. happening.
That's if you word. Could change anything within the department now, what would you change?
We can talk about that.
Absolutely. You're speaking as an individual. Don't forget.
I feel like you're
from here.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people get up there and forget how it is down here.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something that I don't know. It like leaves them or something. I don't know. It's like the humility kind of goes away, and I think that's one thing that I would definitely change. I feel like, you know, if you're going to go up there, you should definitely remember what's going on down here.
Absolutely.
And then also, like, you know, no shade to the big man, but I feel like that should be somebody who came up through here.
Right.
Because mm-hmm.
if you've been groomed from the beginning, yes, from this department.
Yes.
Stop going outsourcing.
Yes.
Other individuals.
Yes. That's why the one before was definitely, I mean, you know.
as a tax
whatever, whatever. But
we call him the People's Commissioner.
Yeah.
What about him?
That's my man.
All day.
That's my man's, okay?
As a tax-paying citizen, yes, I agree with
is.
You.
Absolutely. He is.
I agree with you.
Listen, he was the one, okay? Even as number two, he was the one.
Absolutely.
When I say feet on the ground, this man was out there. I used to be over in the Westin on Fremont and Bending Place, which is a hot spot because it was my post. A hot spot. This man was pulling up, talking about something. What's good?
Yeah.
10 o'clock at night. Why are you still here, sir?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But as I realized,
He loved it.
And that's what he was supposed to do. You get what I'm saying? That's how it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
He would have been great.
Shout out to Double D though.
Yeah.
That's our guy.
It's really his triple D. You know that, right?
Yeah, all day. Yeah.
It's triple D.
Absolutely.
Hey. Yo. With my peoples. Pause. Got you, bro.
Appreciate you.
Thank
you.
Always,
yeah.
Always. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that
went right back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was
a good pickup.
That was a good pickup. That was a good pickup. I'm proud of you on that.
Damn, Ace, got you.
It's a little bit too much in the work.
Shout out. Right.
Yeah. Damn. Wipe your mouth.
when people who were like my aunt and uncles was like, that guy right there.
Yeah.
We brought him in. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And you could see it immediately. You could see it, but.
Listen, a squared away guy, you know, looking at his uniform, you just.
But let me ask y'all, coming from where y'all come from, whether it be, I get city, county, blah, 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 but y'all come from two New Yorkers and a Baltimorean, not Baltimore, Baltimorean. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that not acceptable? Or no.
Why is what not acceptable?
Now let me ask that. How do you, if you're in that position, how do you come in to make those changes where you're trying to make everybody happy? Because somehow, some way, we're gonna have to try to meet at five. You got people at zero, people at 10.
Well, I feel like,
and I think he's
the most
that.
Important. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like most importantly, like I don't want to say most importantly, but when you have a department and you're not making them happy at all, like we're at a zero level. You're at a zero level of happiness. You know, it's like, all right, now everything else, every other problem, because we do have bad seeds, because everybody has them.
Right.
Every profession has them.
Yep.
Those bad seeds are going there. I'm like, okay, I'm 0% happy because the big man not making me happy. And it's just like, it's going to create more problems for everything else. So that whole community engagement is going out the window when that officer goes on the street, because he just sitting in his car. Mm-hmm. And that crime can be happening around the corner. He don't care.
Mm-hmm. He's not proactive.
Yeah, he's not being proactive because he's not happy.
Right.
And it's no morale here. When there's no morale here, why he feel like he should go out and do some work?
Right.
And it's like, you know, I mean, for us, it's like, okay, we're still going to do our job. You know, we still have to do our job for the good people who are here. But it's like I said, it's bad apples. And they feel like, since you're not trying to make me happy, you're so much trying to please everybody else, you have yet to please me in a way that I feel like I need to go out there and do any work.
Right.
It's a lot of selfishness and high rankings. It's a lot of selfishness and individuals that, you know, shit runs downhill, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got to be on the same page. Everybody's got to be for the right reason and move forward with that reason. But once again, you got a lot of individuals that are selfish, only care about themselves, only care about, and you got a lot of people that just love to kiss ass.
Right.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of motherfuckers that shouldn't be at the position they are, but they kiss a lot of ass.
Right.
You know him. Oh, he's cool as shit. Yeah, bring him on. But don't know shit about the position.
Right. Because we had some OGs on. And I was a commissioner. So I tell people, I was a commissioner from 01 to 06. And it was zero tolerance. So being down booking when it was people packed on top of people, you didn't want that extreme, but you had less than 200 murders.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? So I get it, because there were a lot of people who were just walking down the street, and the people just, because that was it was zero tolerance. If you didn't have an ID, didn't have this, that, and the fourth, it was sad. But then the flip side, as you see, is after all of the things that happened all around everything, now, like, I've seen people where, again, this is not every day, but if I see kids jumping on top of a police car and a police officer sitting there feeling like he can't do anything, if he pulls a person off of his squad car, or just that's just disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he pulls, they not going to show the fact the kids were just jumping on the car. They're going to show him pulling them off, and it's going to be going. So, you know what I'm saying? Right. So now you're going to get up to 400 and some murders. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do we want hands off policing, meaning where they just doing whatever they want, you and get 400, close to 500 murders? Or do you want somewhere on the other side? You got to find somewhere, meaning us as citizens, we got to find somewhere in the middle that we're comfortable with and understand that, like, yo, sometimes there are going to be mistakes. People should be held accountable for them. If there are things that are just blatantly wrong, yeah. But if it's other stuff, we got to find somewhere happy. And
not find a happy meeting, and everybody's got to be on the same page,
right,
in handling that mission.
Right.
So, you know.
Y'all are enforcing it. Y'all on the force myself.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we love what we do. I love the department. Things will get better. Mm-hmm. I think it's just over time, you know, we just got to stop the individual shit and let's get on the same page. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it starts with letting all your workers know that they love you. We appreciate the work you do.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of feeling like, you know, if I do something, who's going to have my back? Wow. That's, you know, and that's kind of how a lot of people feel. Like, that's how they say, like, you know, if I go out and do this and maybe something, you know, I don't want to say something bad, but like, you know, a mistake happens or whatever. Who's to know that really was a mistake? Right. Who's going to have my back to say, I know this officer,
I got your back.
I got your back. I get it. And that's how a lot of people are feeling right now.
And that's why it's more hands-off policing, because a lot of officers feel that, you know, the department doesn't have their best interest. They're just a number, and if a simple mistake happens, it's like, all right, well, fire him, sue him. Mm-hmm. Right. We're not gonna have his back. Right. So of course we're gonna be like, all right, fuck that.
Right.
Don't know about that.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody want that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It should be like, when you said mission, the mission statement should be like, one department, one mission. Like, mm-hmm. we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take care of each other, and let's get it done.
Over time, I think it'll happen. We just, you know what? It's gonna take us and a whole lot more of us to keep grooming these young officers. You know what I'm saying?
Because that is a big thing.
They need to listen, though.
You know, I was at training, because I'm an FTO. Mm-hmm. I was at training the other day, and I kind of spoke about it. And I was like, you know, I asked like one of the instructors, like, are you guys like telling them like to not listen to us as FTOs? I'm like, because I've seen a lot of people, like, you know, new officers, and they were like, oh, no, we're not doing that. And so-and-so in the academy said not to do that. And, you know, they said, we don't listen to you. Like, oh, and I'm like, really? I get, and I get where, you know, it's I know stuff you learn in the academy, especially now, like, you know, you learn so much different stuff in the academy now. Right. And then, of course, like, what we're used to doing, everything like that. It's not that we're wrong. You're trained to do it a different way now. And it's like, okay, instead of telling me, no, you're not doing that and da-da-da, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to come, hey, hold on now. I understand this might be right, but also this way, and then we can talk about it, but like, to just blatantly just like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, it's just
that's
like,
crazy. How you can say, I'm not going to do that, but you never done it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's because so-and-so at the academy told me I'm supposed to do that. And if we have a problem, to call them. All right. Well, let me write some 95s up. come ahead. Yeah.
Wow. Phenomenal.
May I put up with that NFL draft?
Huh?
Let's talk about your draft.
You want to talk about the draft?
No, I thought y'all was going to talk about it.
Oh, I mean, it's...
I thought Jay was ready to talk about it.
Right.
I don't know. Triple C is like, he kept putting it up there. Like, I'll show you.
We good.
Nah. But nah, thank you for coming out.
Are we done?
We're not. I'm just appreciating you for coming out.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Appreciate me.
Absolutely.
I'm listening.
So, what else have you been through within these 6 years?
Yeah, we love stories. Give me a good story.
I don't know.
Like, what's the favorite part about it?
Come on, now you go. Come on, now. You're four by two, city. You know, yeah, come on. I know you got some good stories.
He asked me that earlier. I'm like, dang, I don't know.
What's your favorite part? Like, when I was out there, I would love getting a dirt bike. Like, to me, that was just one of the best things ever.
That's your unicorn, bro.
Yeah,
your unicorn. Dirt bikes are fun.
Dirt bikes are fun,
though.
First time me and him clicked together, we got a dirt bike.
I never asked you that. H, what's your unicorn though?
Word, like, what's your favorite thing to do?
What's your one? Like, what's that like? Like, we know Dre. Like, Dre unicorn is like he see a dirt bike. His eyes, like, you can, I can. The way he tell a story, his eyes.
It wasn't just the dirt bike. It was just car chases.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like
got
that
you,
in
got
general,
you.
Like so car.
I mean, that,
speeding,
that is
we
yeah.
going.
Okay, so car. So
when is a good one? And like you know, I'm you know I'm looking out for everybody, all the citizens, mm-hmm. and they kind of looking out for all the citizens, and nobody get hurt. Like I'm like this is fun. This is it right here. This is my shit.
Yeah.
So what's that good story for you where you like? What's that?
You know
that
what makes me
kinda,
feel
you know,
good?
You know, something recently happened to me. This was kind of fucking wild. Okay. So,
okay.
So I was on my road somewhere and you know, I got the little LPRs or whatever. Right. So a car rides past me and it's like, boom, 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 stolen license plate or whatever. So I run it with, you know, through dispatch, I'm following it or whatever. So the guy realized I'm following. So she's like, yeah, it's stolen. And come back on I forgot what kind of car it came back on, but it was on an Acura. And I'm like, all right, well this could be right. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm at the 1100 block of my row. I'm like, he just pulled over curbside. He parking. So there's a car behind him and he parks right in front of it. So when I hit my partner's like, hey, he said, I'm pulling up. Now, you hear somebody say you pulling up. You're not really looking. If they say you play pulling up, they pulling up, right?
Right.
This dummy wasn't pulling up. So I go, I'm like, okay, well, if he pulling up, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, try to block this guy in from right here.
Right.
So I blocked him in from right here. I got out of the car. And second, I know he put in the car and drive. My door is still open. So I'm like, oh, I'll try to jump back in the car. And he's literally hitting my door, bending it backwards.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm like, yo, wait. Like, I'm like, go ahead and pull off. Just don't wreck my truck. Like, no, don't wreck my truck.
Wow.
So I'm like, yo, I love my truck. So I'm like, no, wreck my truck. So I'm like, he pushes my door all the way back. It was like, I can't pull it back. Pulls off. I'm keying up like, he just wrecked my car. You know, he's driving southbound on Monroe. And I'm like calling. I'm like, where is Fox at? Luckily, I want to shout out my brother. You know, he was up in the air and he did his thing as he always do.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I called it out, like I don't know. It's like he just knew. He came right.
He was on.
He was on the air coming from the southwest. So he let me tell you how he was so slow though. So I'm like, yeah, he's like I said, I'm right here on 1100 Monroe. And Riggs is right here. So the guy goes down, goes to Lafayette, makes a right, comes up Appleton, and then comes back past me on Riggs. So as Fox coming above, I'm like, he's riding back past me. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
So everybody's like, what? I'm like, yeah, he just rode past me. So Fox is like, wait. I'm like, he just going up in Winchester. So y'all know my road is a one-way street. Mm-hmm. I turn around. I'm like, he's behind me on my road. He's going up my road. And they're like, what? I'm like, yo, this man is wild. He literally rode past me twice at this point. So Fox finally gets him. So, that you know, he's driving all around. Then Fox like, all right, he's back southbound on my road. I'm like, no way. I turn around. Shoom. I'm like, he really rode past me 3 times. Like, did he want to see that he disabled me or something? Like, I really couldn't even, like, you know, I could not follow him because he really, like, disabled my truck. I couldn't move. Like, my door would not shut. So I'm sitting there mad. They're like, do you need a medic? I don't need no medic. Just catch him. Like, somebody, stop him.
He was rubbing it in your face.
Yes. 3 times ride past me. I'm like, this is making me mad. And he finally was stopped and he jumped out and ran. It was a bigger guy. And I'm like, he should have just ran right there. And I would have caught him, but he just ran right there. So they went to go catch him. When I say, I guess like everybody, you know, this is the camaraderie like right here. So
talk to me.
Everybody, when I watched Foxtrot video,
yeah,
yo, and I just saw the swarm of officers.
It's so synced in.
Yo, they was like,
shh. Everybody knows what to do.
And they all just went in. No use of force, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? They went in and they grabbed them, put them in handcuffs and like, we got them. And that's when somebody... Then
people, you know, that felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, because it's like, yo, like, they had my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's all it's about.
The cavalry came.
Yeah, like, they really was there. They was like, oh, no, we wasn't stopping that one. We wasn't calling that one off. Like, nah.
That's dope.
Yeah, he hit your car. He could have hit you.
Right.
Because he was, like, my lieutenant always said, he was trying to hit you. What was you thinking? He was trying to hit you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's kind of go early. Like, you know, I just, sometimes I do dumb things. Like, you know, I go do dumb things by myself.
Right.
And, yeah, like, it was lit, though. Like, they really went in and got him and arrested him and everything. And I was like, damn.
Did you get your truck back?
Yeah. In no time, too. Like, you know.
You got a new truck or they just fixed the door?
They took care of the damage.
Yeah, they fixed the door. Yeah, they put a new door on. Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
But see, that's teamwork.
Yeah.
That's teamwork. That's you being alert on your radio, calling it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Letting Fox know where it's at. The cavalry's coming. They just want to get a description. Mm-hmm. 100 block, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Everybody working together.
If one thing I can do, I can call out a vehicle pursuit.
What? And that's half the job.
Yeah. I can call it out. I can be calm, you know, just chill out and call it out. That's the best. I think that's the best part about it.
It is.
Because once you don't want, once you, I be hearing, when I hear people, they be like, yeah, he's on wrong way. Nope, cut it off. I want to cut it off myself. Cut it off. Because that don't even sound right.
You're too much static. Yeah, and nobody hear you clearly.
Yeah.
And you're getting everybody all hot and bothered.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask y'all, can y'all break that down? Like
it's an art form.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank
you. It's like, an art form.
You gotta westbound, eastbound streets. How do you get to the
biggest thing is taking your time.
Yeah.
Breathing. Knowing your 100 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing your main streets.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Giving a great description.
Okay.
Listen, I got a green car going southbound on 3400 block of Bel Air Road, bearing Maryland tag so-and-so. Mm. He's still traveling, guys. Get up there. He's about to hit the light on Erdman. Bel Air and Erdman, he's right there. Bel Air and Ironman, he's right there. Cavalry's coming. You got units coming from every direction.
But you got to make sure that you direct them the right way.
The right way. And the eye in the sky, don't lie. Once they get a hold of it,
that's it.
It's over.
That's it.
It's over.
Gotcha. My bro, he's definitely the best one up there. I don't care who anybody says.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, he's the best one up there.
Dude. Hell yeah.
Really good dude.
Once you hear that voice, you know you good.
Yeah, when I hear that. And then he's so ghetto because, let me tell y'all, after, he really is. After we caught the guy, he came back to me and like, you know, hovering over me. He was like, sis, you good? On the radio. And I'm like, thanks, Dre. Thanks. Oh, dang.
It's all good.
It's all right, because my name is Dre, too.
Hey.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Hey. I'm like, thanks, bro. Da, da, da. And he's like, I was like, thanks for coming so fast. And he's like, nah, he hit my sis. I had to come. That's going up. He was getting it. And I'm like, you know, he got on the radio, but yeah.
No, I wouldn't say he's ghetto. It's just that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not going to let anybody else tell him how to do his job.
Absolutely.
Because he does his job so well.
So well.
So when it comes across, it's like he's being real direct. Like, no, this is what, let me get the air.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I mean, at the end of the day, he has the best vantage point.
He does.
He's the eyes in the sky. Like, he sees it all.
And when I say he does it, like, you know, he's handling a camera, a flashlight, he looks out the window.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yo, like.
And he knows his blocks. Because he'd be like, oh, boy, this block, that block.
Yep.
It's an art form up there.
And like, you know, even like when you said, like, calling out the stuff, like, you got to be able to be calm. You got to be able to speak. And like, so that everybody can hear you. Because like, if you start jumbling over your words and it's just like, because I have a. I know a guy. When he gets on the radio, I don't know what kind of language he be speaking because no one understands him. And I be like, dang.
You talking about dispatcher?
No.
Oh.
No, one of my partners.
Oh, okay.
But
your big bro, one time, he saved me. Like,
I'm pretty sure.
I'm in the Southwest. They sent me back to patrol out of shootings. And, We get a call from a female saying that her ex-man is outside the window waving his gun. So I'm like, bet. And she was like, he's in a car. A gray two-door car. So I'm already know, like, oh, okay. He in a coupe. More than likely, it can move.
Mm-hmm.
I call for Foxtrot. And boom, he gets there. He's like, oh, it's confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dude. He has a hot object in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in an Infiniti coupe. I'm like, oh, boy.
That's going.
I roll up. Boom, it's on. He stood on it. The dude even discharged out the window. He discharged out the window, then threw the gun. And the eyes in the sky. Foxtrot stood on him. He ditched the car. I stood with the gun. The rest of the Southwest Patrol followed. And then they ended up finding him underneath a car because he ditched the gun. I'm sorry. He ditched the car and went on foot underneath a car. And Foxtrot saw the whole thing. We were able to get him. And it was a big case because that dude ended up, you know, the domestics were heavy. Like, he had a couple of domestics with the same female in multiple counties in the state. So they were like really getting to get him because he'd done it or not. But Foxtrot was able to.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's dope.
But when he did bust that round, I was like, he should have got me over the head.
I saw a spark. Come get this motherfucker.
There was a spark out the window.
You guys speak Spanish? Huh? Did you start speaking Spanish?
I did.
I bet you did.
I spoke every language. I think I was, you know, I told him everything.
I said, oh my God.
They're like, yo, we got him. Nice. Calm down. I'm like, yeah, because I was going to get him. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. You know what I'm saying? Go get him. No, I mean, I was about to jump on his ass.
You know what I'm saying? Because if I would have got him, you know what I'm saying? But I got this gun, though. You know what I'm saying?
I just caught a cramp and shit. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I would have been there, but I was still with the gun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But next time. You know what I'm
next time.
Next time, leave him for me.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta submit this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Me by myself.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Good looking, Foxtrot. Right. I mean, I ain't need you, but you know what I'm saying? Good looking.
Appreciate you.
Nah, but that was dope, though. I hate a dude like that. Remember the dude that was like that? He's no longer here. The dude that, he was in the Northeast in shape. The dude, you know, his name, he had like a weird name. He was like that. He was very like, oh no, you know, I would have been doing this and then you do that. He left. You know what I'm talking about. The reason why we lost our brother when he called out that thing. That dude. I forgot what's his name.
Oh, yeah.
He was really like that. See, I was just joking around. There was a dude that we knew that he was like that in real life. He'll call out something and then like midway disappear and then show up and be like, well, you know, if I would have been there, you know, I would have. And we're like, but fam, you started this shit.
Where were you at?
Right. He left the department because we were like, yo, stop. Yeah.
Too much.
That's a true story.
So listen, would you like to give any shout outs before we wrap this thing up, bro? Everybody.
All right.
What's up?
What up, y'all? I want to shout out me.
All day.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
You first.
Me. It's like, no. I don't know, just everybody, you know, all my peoples. I guess I can shout out my Dusty sister. Her birthday is tomorrow.
Happy birthday, bestie. Ow.
Y'all know who she is.
Oh, her birthday is tomorrow?
Yeah, her birthday is tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah.
You want to give us some of that Deuce?
Yeah.
There's going to be dresses and heels out in the town.
Absolutely.
Some classy shit.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. Enough about that stinky Virgo.
Well, what sign are you?
Aquarius. I was about to say it next. I want to shout out all my Aquariuses. Okay.
Okay. No doubt.
Right.
That's February.
January to February.
Okay.
Nice. All right. I think that's it.
Okay.
Listen, we appreciate you for coming. You got
to
come back.
Jose, I got to shout out my squad, right?
Okay. Shout them out.
Shout out my squad, MMU Squad B. I mean, squad A is cool too. Like, B squad is the best squad, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
My lieutenant, my homie. What up, dog? yeah, that's it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gotta come back for more laughs.
Oh, absolutely.
And more good times.
I mean, I guess whenever y'all
come back with your stinky Virgo.
Oh my God.
You absolutely.
We'll make it a riot.
Listen, let me tell you.
Bring her.
That one, that's going to be funny.
Good.
We'll make it a riot.
For real.
Yeah. Huh?
All right, Dre.
Peace and love.
Triple C.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
All right, my peoples. Episode 95. We appreciate you. I want to thank my sister Sims for coming through, doing what she do. And this is what we bring to the table. We do this. We love this. And we're going to give you more of this. Everybody be safe. Enjoy your weekend. See you soon. Easy. Wow.
views and opinions expressed on the Silverback Podcast are those of the hosts, producers, and or the persons appearing on the program, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the federal, state, or local government. This includes, but not exclusive to, the Department of Defense and or the Baltimore City Police Department.